diseases you can clean, and they're listed there. And then there's a bunch of items to remove. Breaded products like chicken fingers and that sort of thing, people sometimes don't think of that. You know, the vacuum cleaner bag, and trash should be removed from the property. Typical leavening agents down at the bottom. Besides baking powder and baker's yeast and soda, there's some other names that you might see on ingredients. Sodium bicarbonate, calcium bicarbonate, potassium bicarbonate, almost anything with bicarbonate in it, and Levito, which is baking powder and baking soda combined. So this is something to just help you prepare for the days of unleavened bread. Now, the sermon today is on the next two pages, preparing for the spring holy days. And the first I just list, which is on our calendars, when the Passover is, the night to be much observed, which is going to be at Peter and Carol's this year. That's on the Wednesday, April 5th. And then Thursday's the first day of unleavened bread is here at 1 p.m. Passover, Exodus 12, 6 to 14. We can turn there. It says, "Now you shall keep it, that is, the Passover, until the lamb, until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." That's between the two evenings. "And they shall take some of the blood and put it onto the two doorposts and on the lintel." The lintel's at the top of the door, if you not sure of that, where they eat. "And they shall," in verse 8, "then they shall eat flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it." It says roasted in fire, it's not boiled. We see another section in Exodus 13 where something's boiled. It's a different matter. Verse 9, "Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it, with a belt on your waist, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And that's where we get the name Passover, the word Passover from. "And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So that's the Passover. We've got the blood on the doorposts, the sign God will pass over you, and it is a memorial feast. Now in Mark 14, just turn over there quickly. Verses 12 to 17. "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb," that should read, "the first of the unleavens." That's a bad translation in the New King James and the King James. It's not the first day of unleavened bread, it's the first of the unleavens. The first of the unleavens is Passover day. Okay. When they killed, and you can tell that's the case because that's when they killed the Passover lamb, in that same verse. And his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare that you might eat the Passover?" And he sent the two of his disciples out, "Go to the city with a man you see carrying a pitcher of water and follow him." That pitcher of water Christ probably used to wash the disciples' feet. Verse 14, and wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went out and came into the city, found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. So that's on the first of the unleavens when they killed the Passover. Now, if we look at John 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, or, if you see in the margin, during supper. So it was during supper, not supper being ended. The devil came already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now the important point here, Jesus kept this memorial feast known as the Lord's Supper, which is what was mentioned in Exodus 12. This, when he kept it, concludes the keeping of the Old Testament memorial. So Christ was the last one, or the final one, to keep the Old Testament one. And then he introduced the New Testament Passover Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 11, just flip over there for a minute. Verses 17 to 22 and 34 says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you came together not for the better or but for the worse. For first of all, when you came together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are proved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And there he's referring to the first Lord's Supper, because they were eating a meal, as we can see when we follow verse 21, for in eating, each one of you takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, another drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Verse 34, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So here, the Corinthians were eating the Lord's Supper before they go on with the New Testament Passover, New Covenant symbols. And Paul clearly states that they shouldn't be doing this. So that's why we don't eat a meal before we have the Passover. Okay? Because that's the old way. And the new way is listed further down in this chapter and others. Now, let's just do foot washing first in John 13 again, verses 3 to 10. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know this after. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So that's how important foot washing is. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Okay, so in those days, they didn't have shoes and socks. So their feet were naturally a little dirtier than they would otherwise be. So that's the reference there. And verse 12 to 17, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.'" So there clearly is our instruction to wash one another's feet. And it's a symbol of humility. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who was sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So that's why we do the foot washing on the Passover night. In Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins.'" Now, if we go back to John 13, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 11, we'll see those words which Paul, as Paul explained it in verses 23 to 25. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And in those words, in those last two verses, "for as often as" is a special translation from the Greek, which doesn't translate the word "an," A-N in Greek. It's not translated into English, but what it means is, it means that there are conditional qualifiers to restrict the meaning of "as often as" to the night in which he was betrayed, which is verse 23. So that's why we only observe the Lord's Supper once a year on the 14th at twilight. Okay, that particular word "and" is interesting there. There's a whole lot I could say about that, but I don't want to, you know, get too technical. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 32, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak among and sick among you, and many sleep." Some people die. Okay, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may be condemned, not be condemned with the world." So we must be careful to examine ourselves before taking Passover, so that by judging ourselves and repenting of all our sins, we come before God clean. As it says in the Psalms, wash me thoroughly from sin. On the next page, we go on a little more detail about unleavened bread. And the reason I've listed all of this way is just to give you a handle on what to read beforehand before Tuesday night. John 6, 32 to 35. Reads, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And then in verses 48 to 51, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So Christ is the bread of life. 1 Peter, just flip over there. It's just before 2 Peter, if you need. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So Christ himself bore our sins in his own body, and we are healed by his stripes or his wounds. 1 Corinthians 5, and verses 6 to 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that the little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So that one infers that Christ is unleavened, which he was. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So that's our goal. Matthew 26, once again, verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it reads here, it should again be on the first of the unleavens. The disciples came to Jesus saying to them, where do you want us to prepare to eat the Passover? Okay. And in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So it is unleavened. And right through this whole section, right to Matthew 27:50, where it says Jesus went, when he cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Right to his death, he was unleavened through all this time. And then in Exodus 12, which we've gone through pretty much, I'll just refer to, first of all, 6 to 11 we've read, verses 34, So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. So on the second day, the day after Passover, when they actually left Egypt, they still had unleavened bread. That's the case there. And that's right through the night to be much observed. In Exodus 12:15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall have, and it should read, you shall have removed leaven from your houses. Now, these original instructions show that from the 14th to the 21st is 8 days of unleavened bread. Even though there is no specific Bible command for 8 days, just the one I read you, 7 days, in Exodus 12, plus Christ's example in Exodus, Christ's example indicate the 14th, in my opinion, should be considered unleavened. Even though it doesn't say that, I've always kept it that way, and I think most people do, as something to consider. Accordingly, eating a Big Mac on the day portion of the 14th, before the night to be much observed, is not in keeping with the festival, again, in my opinion. So if you were going to have two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, pickles, onions on a sesame seed, matzo, it'd be okay. But that's the case with the unleavened bread. And the wine, the other thing that we take at Passover, Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. Okay, so we know that. That's why we drink the wine. 1 John 1, verse 7 gives us a little more information. But we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's important, that we have fellowship with one another, and Christ's blood cleanses us all from all sin. Verse 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, that's Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. So there's several things in the wine that all come back to one thing, that Christ's blood is what we are relying on to forgive us our sins. And so that's why we take the wine as an example of his blood. In Hebrews 9, we conclude one more item here. Verses 11 to 15. But Christ is high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. By means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So we are promised eternal life if we do keep these wine and the blood every year, as well as the foot washing. Wine represents Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. So in conclusion, our new covenant Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread begin our new year worshiping God the Father and Jesus Christ. All our past sins are forgiven, and our lives will be unleavened and holy before God. God bless you all, and have a happy and profitable Spring Holy Days.